Well, hi. I might be a familiar face to you guys, and if not, or for a refresh, my name is Emma, and I'm normally video capture lead right here on Tuesday nights. I volunteer on Sundays in ECC Kids with preschool. I'm one of our teen associates, and I get to hang out with our awesome teens on Wednesday nights and at camps, and I speak there wearing one or two wild costumes in the process of that normally. I am entering my senior year at Bethel University, just down the road. So hi, Bethel people watching. Love you. And most importantly, as who I am as a person today, I've grown up with Emmanuel. This church and many of these people here have been a significant part of my life for as long as I can remember. I had the unique experience of being the child of the senior pastor and the on and off children's director. So church wasn't just church. For better and for worse, it is and was my family's life. Real relationships with the Lord are something that was modeled by my parents and by important mentors throughout my life, many of whom are here in this church. So I wanted to stop right now before I get started and say a sincere thank you. You know who you are, and I want you to know that in so many senses of the words, I would not be here if it wasn't for you. So I love you all, and I'm grateful for you. And shout out Dan for getting ordained. Thanks to these mentors, I knew from a young age that God was with me, that God loved me, and that Jesus was my friend that I could talk to about anything. I asked Jesus into my heart in my bedroom at about 5 years old, which is the same time ECC was having its first few services. Which brings me to a few years down the road in first grade. I remember sitting in our family minivan, dropping a friend of mine home from school. We got on the topic of God, so if you knew me now or knew me as a kid, that's not difficult to picture. I mean, before I was even in preschool, I started preaching to a pottery barn. Those poor people, true story. So back to the minivan. My friend told me that she and her mom didn't believe in God because when her mom was at home by herself, she didn't feel anyone there. I didn't have words in my first grade brain to describe what was so ingrained in my heart, which is you don't need to feel the Lord physically there to know God's presence is with you. If you're searching and longing to truly experience the presence of God in your life, myself or anyone else saying you don't have to physically feel something to know God is with you doesn't bring comfort. But it raises an important question, one that I would like to encourage you to write down in your notes. Is it possible to actually experience the presence of God in this broken world? If we can, how? What does experiencing the presence of God even mean? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is our access point? And by the end of this message today, we'll have had a conversation about all of these questions. And we're even going to have diagrammed it out. Let's go. The book of Psalms invites us to be honest. We spent the last few weeks in this series diving deep into how broken we can truly feel. We've also been seeing how the Psalms give language to our deepest thoughts, longings, and emotions. When expressing our inner pain, we praise God in the midst of our suffering, when we're petitioning, begging, asking God to move in our lives. I said earlier that I didn't have words to describe the presence of God when I was younger. Sometimes I don't have the right words even now, especially in the midst of brokenness. But like my dad said a few weeks ago, if you don't have the right words, use David's. Throughout this series, we've been memorizing Psalm 23, and the words of David right here give words, the right words, to what the presence of God is. So let's open by saying it together. It'll be on the screen, but as we've been memorizing it, let's see how much you know. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't this the type of peace we long for? When I spoke at Snow Camp this February, I talked about how this psalm has become a soundtrack in my life, one that I repeat over and over to myself. When I'm anxious and when I'm overwhelmed, I say Psalm 23 to myself and feel that sense of peace, the peace that comes from the presence of God. I said we're going to diagram this out today, and here is where we start. You can take the girl out of youth group, but you can't take youth group out of the girl. So I had to let it bring a little bit of ECC teen to big church. It's what I do. So it's a little bit out of order today, but in your notes, if you're following along, there's space to draw this diagram along with me. So our first circle today is going to be God's presence. God's presence. And I need to put the marker back. Psalm 23 paints a picture of what it is like to experience the presence of God. So let's dig into why this psalm captures God's presence so well. If you brought your Bibles today, turn with me to Psalm 23. And if you don't have a Bible, I'm not secretly really excited to say this part. As a church, we highly, highly recommend the YouVersion Bible app. It's free in the App Store and has over 680 million downloads. And I also love the Literal Word app. So here we go. Psalm 23, starting with verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Psalm 23 opens with the imagery of the Lord as our shepherd. If you remember back to our Lent series that we did together, we explored Jesus' I am statements, one of which is, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 1 highlights that our Lord, our good shepherd, has already provided us with so much. Our needs are already met by the one who laid his life down for us. And looking out today, I know that there are so many stories of how God has provided for us as individuals, as families, and as a congregation over the years. Everything David has to say in Psalm 23 about God's presence, every beautiful image that is to come, is built on what God has already accomplished. Think of what God accomplished in the life of David alone. God called David up from protecting his flocks to protecting his nation, to slaying a giant, to leading his people as king, and being known as the man after God's own heart. Melissa, our children's director, who's awesome, by the way, showed this book to my dad, who showed it to me. It's called Found. It's put together by the same author-illustrator duo that made the Jesus Storybook Bible. And if you are familiar with that Bible, you know just how rich it is. And this book is no different. Found is a retelling of Psalm 23, and these images that are in this book really, really struck me. This one, that's on the screen, depicts the good shepherd leading us as a little lamb beside still waters. As I was researching for this message, I used the Literal Word resource, which lets you see the direct translation of words throughout the Bible. And the literal translation of leads in this beginning passage is deeper than we think. It specifically means to lead with care and to give rest to. Our good shepherd leads us to good, restful places because he cares about us. And being in God's presence feels like this. It feels like lying beside still waters. This is our good news today, and there's a place in your notes to write down if you're following along. God wants us to experience God's presence. God wants us to experience God's presence. God's presence is a caring guide, not one that pushes on and waits for us to catch up to him. It's like parents who are walking with a little toddler. If you've seen a toddler before, which I'm assuming all of you have, they have tiny, tiny little legs. And it's very hard for those tiny little legs to keep pace with a full-grown adult. And so their parent, when they're walking with their child, slows down to lead their kid at their level. Sometimes encourages them to pick up the pace a little bit, but for their own good. And God is doing this type of leading, this leading with care to us, to places of rest. Which brings me to our next few points. Turning back to our wonderful whiteboard of greatness, we have our next circle, which is dwelling place. Two other psalms, Psalms 84 and Psalm 91, sing of what it's like to experience the presence of God. And have you noticed, if you've read them together, they both use the word dwell in their opening verses. Here they are, side by side. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. So think back to the picture we just saw of the little lamb and their good shepherd. Having peaceful places to dwell is so important, especially when combined with the presence of God, because the presence of God is restorative to our whole self. The presence of God is restorative to our whole self. One of our high school students, Addie, spoke this year at youth group about the Hebrew word for soul. Her sister's giving me a thumbs up in the back. And our soul, as we learned there, is deeper than our American understanding of it. The way soul and nefesh is used, it means life breath and life blood. So in the beginning, when God created Adam in Genesis, he didn't create a body as a vessel to stick the soul into. God breathed life, breathed the soul into what was already created. A soul isn't something we have. A soul is who we are. In the literal word, the word we translate as soul is the inner being of man, which combines our self, our life, our mind, our desires, and our passions. And this is what God is restoring. When God's presence is actively invited in, he can restore and repair every aspect of who we are. This crazy imagery, this awesome imagery, these still waters, is followed up with an image that has an absolutely wild contrast. In Psalm 23:4, it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This verse paints a vivid picture of the worst and scariest parts of life. The book Found also has a picture which showcases the little lamb in one of these valleys. Here, our little lamb who was once at peace with the good shepherd by a stream is now in a deep and dark valley. She's scared, she's drenched, and she is completely alone. A lot of you know what this feels like. You know what it means to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Everyone in this room and everyone watching will go through valleys at some point. I've been there. And recently, last April, I hit an all-time low in my battle with depression. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I couldn't leave my room. I couldn't really eat. I couldn't work on my finals. I couldn't do anything besides lay on the floor and cry for days at a time. And on top of depression being the worst, it was so frustrating. Because on a surface level, everything should have been fine. There wasn't a reason that I could pinpoint or blame. I loved my roommates, my friends, my job at Emmanuel. I mean, I was supposed to be the one leading our kids and teens to Jesus. I thought I was supposed to have it all together. But at the same time, I was stuck. Never in my life have I been in such isolating darkness. Never in my life have I wanted so badly to give up, to have everything end. But that wasn't my end, because I knew I wasn't alone. There's a place to write this in your notes. The presence of God brings comfort in our deep valleys. The presence of God was the one comfort I felt in April of 2023. I still had to walk through my deep valley. I still experienced the lowest lows I ever have. But even when I didn't feel it, I knew God was with me. His presence brought me comfort. I invited God into the room that I was cornered in, into my dwelling place. And God met me there. What I don't want you to hear from me, by any means, is that God will immediately fix every evil thing that happens to us because we lean into God's presence. That's not what I'm saying. That certainly hasn't happened to me. I have Jesus and I have a therapist. Both are wonderful. What I am saying is that when God's presence enters into our dwelling places, God can move with us enough to get us through it. As I wrote this, a very, very clear picture came to me of God's hand reaching in, locking grip with our hand, and holding us to himself as support as we limp forward with him, like someone who has been shot. And God can handle our full weight. Psalm 23 does not say, I will experience no evil for God is with me. I wish it did. I wish that it said, I will experience no evil because God is with me. But the exact opposite is promised to us, actually. Jesus said, in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, for he has overcome the world. In the midst of the evil we will inevitably face, God is with us. God is present, and God's presence brings peace. So looking back here, this is great, but this is not done. Yes, I invited God into the space I was in, but that's not the only way that we can experience the presence of God. Because I'm realizing, that's a fun little hold up. There we go. I drew it a little bit too small. There we go. Yes, I invited God into the space I was in, but it was God working through my mom who physically brought me up and out of the mess I was in. God uses our relationships, if you can read that, to bring his presence to us. And this is where it gets really good. At the end of Psalm 91, there is a perspective shift. The author shifts away from speaking about what it is like to dwell in the presence of God. And I love Psalm 91 as a side note. That one is fantastic. But they then shift to the perspective of God, speaking to the one who seeks God's presence. So turn with me again to Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. And as we read, remember that this is God's voice. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91, 14 through 16 perfectly pulls together the theme of relationship intersecting with God's presence. Because you can have the knowledge of God's presence. You can invite God's presence into your dwelling places, but those fade away without a relationship with God. And God says in this psalm, because we hold tightly to him in love, God will protect us, deliver us, and be with us in trouble. Which brings us to this middle point right here. But Emma, I hear you asking, what is this middle point? Well, I will tell you. This right here, I'll fill it in. I drew the circles a little bit small. This is the house of the Lord. There's a place to write this in your notes. The house of the Lord is found at the intersection of God's presence, of dwelling place, and of relationship. If you've been to one of our retreats as a student or as a leader, you know that the best of camp is when we access the house of the Lord. Because this right here is the communion service on our retreats, which so many of our students come back, if not all of them, come back saying was their favorite part of camp. When we've all been dwelling together as believers and as friends, fostering our relationships in and with the presence of God, students and leaders alike are able to authentically worship without worrying what the people around them are doing, whether it's through taking communion, singing, kneeling at the cross, or praying together. And just about everyone comes out of that Saturday night with a really cool story about how God spoke to them or about how they experienced God's presence in a whole new way. I remember the night of one particular communion service at one of our retreats. Chloe, who's one of our seventh grade girls now, gave me permission to share this with all of you. So thanks, Chloe. Towards the end of this communion service, Chloe came up to me in the back of the room at Bald Eagle Lodge. And I was already a big Chloe fan at this point, and if you know her, I guarantee you are too, because she is amazing. And I knew in that moment that something sweet was about to happen, just because of how I know her. And I was prepared to head back into another room and pray with her, but instead, she gave me a hug, and she said something which brought me to tears. This quote has stuck with me for 2 whole years now. She said, "Oh, it gets me every time. I'm really glad I came to camp. Before, church just felt like a place. And now it feels like home." I know. She was fifth grade. Come on. The presence of God was tangible in that room. Because we invited God into our space, into our relationships, and into our lives. And Chloe's story isn't the only one of its kind, especially here at Emmanuel. I could share so many more stories about experiencing the house of the Lord from retreats alone, not to mention from Juarez and worship nights. And I know stories from prisons and hospitals, conventions, dorm rooms, and homes. And this feeling, this longing we have for the house of the Lord, is described further in Psalm 84:2. The author describes a feeling I know many of us have had, a desire for something more. It says this, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." This is what we talked about earlier. Our soul, our whole self, longs to be in this space. But how do we access the house of the Lord in the here and now? And that is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's presence dwelling in us, in relationship with us today. The Spirit of God can enter into our lives, our spaces, our relationships, and make them holy. And it's not just that he can, it's that he wants to. As I was writing this message out on my couch, I could feel the Spirit's excitement, his desire to move through us. As individuals and as a church, the Spirit wants to enter in. God is excited and he is ready to make his indwelling presence known to us. The Spirit is accessible. And I feel that he's just waiting for the word, for the invitation to move. So today, let's extend that invitation to the Spirit together. There's a place to write this in your notes. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life, your relationships, and your physical spaces. You may have already invited the Spirit, the living and active presence of God, into your life. But have you specifically invited the Holy Spirit into your spaces, in the places where you dwell, in your relationships with the Lord and with others? Because you have the opportunity to invite him in now. The Spirit is ready to move. I remember one night this past year at my school's weekly worship service, Vespers. In this particular service, we asked the Spirit what he loved about the person sitting next to us. And I was sitting with one of my best friends, Haley, who was watching from India, and we both got clear words from the Spirit about each other. And I know, in the craziness of the months that followed, those words, what God loved about each of us, was something that we both held to. It's what I held fast to in my valley. And the whole experience was so powerful, it was through the simplest of invitations. The Spirit wants to be present in your life. God wants us to experience God's presence. And you don't need to be at camp or attend a Christian college. You don't need anything fancy. The Spirit moved in the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. The invitation to the Spirit can just be you in your valley, seeking the good shepherd to carry you through it. The presence of God is a loving and caring guide. As we wrap up here today, I want to leave you with one last thing. If you've zoned out, come back, because this is really, really cool. So Psalm 84:10 says, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Better is one day in the house of the Lord than thousands elsewhere. Earlier, we talked about Psalms which opened with dwell. And Psalm 23:6 contrasts these and closes with the word dwell. It says this, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're not invited to dwell just anywhere. We're invited here, in the house of the Lord. And stick with me on this. If one day here, in the house of the Lord, is better than 1,000 days anywhere else, how much better will forever be? Talk about perspective on that. If you want an eternity of days that are each individually better than 1,000 days put together, you can start today. Bring together the presence of God, your relationships, and your dwelling places. And genuinely invite the Holy Spirit, the accessible presence of God, to dwell within you. And if you don't have the words, use Brandon Lakes. I'm going to pray, and we'll seal this time with a song that does just that. With lyrics that talk about the same Spirit who is moving over the waters of creation, moving within us, and the Spirit resting on us, dwelling within us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this space. Thank you for everything that you have already accomplished in our lives, for bringing us out of valleys, for being with us in our valleys. We invite you here, whether we feel that we are next to the still waters of our life or in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, invite you into this space. Fill this place, stir within our hearts, and move us to invite your presence into every aspect of our lives today. Amen.